You are listening to another episode of Beckett's Babies, a playwriting podcast. On the show, we discuss plays we love, interview theater artists, and share our thoughts on playwriting and theater. We are your hosts, Sarah Cho.
And Sam Collier. And Sarah, I have this exciting discovery to share with you.
Oh.
That I think we could use for this episode.
It can't be anything scary, right?
Well, I don't know. We'll have to see. So what happened was a few nights ago, I went looking for – I needed some gaff tape, and I went poking around in our department of theater and dance in the back of our big theater, and there was nobody there, so I was just kind of looking around the shop. I couldn't find the light switch, so it was like really dark.
Sounds scary.
I tripped over this – I guess it was like a chest, like one of those old trunks. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, maybe there's some gaff tape in here. And I opened it up and I found this, I think it's a Ouija board.
Are you crazy?
Well, I just thought, you know, we've always wanted to, get to hear directly from all these playwrights we admire that we can't interview because they're dead. And I just thought this would be a really good opportunity if we just use this Ouija board. Maybe we could get in touch with some of them.
Wow. Sam, I don't know if this is a good idea, but I guess anything for content. Let's do it.
Well, I just think we should try it. I mean, what's the all worst right. that could happen?
Okay, let's
we
do it.
We might find out the truth. Are you afraid of the truth?
I'm always afraid of the truth. That's just it's my personality. All right.
Well, okay. Well, I just thought like we could see if we start using the Ouija board, we could just see who shows up, you know?
All right. Why don't you get started since you have the Ouija board?
Great. In. I'm going to place my hands on the, I don't know what you call it, the little thingy. Yeah. And,
Let's do some research, Sam. Let's do some proper names.
It's okay. No, I've used one of these before. I just don't know what it's called. So I'll just ask, is anyone there? And and let's just see. Oh, my hands are moving. Oh my gosh. Wait. Okay. W-I-L-L-S-H-A-K. Oh my God, I think it's William Shakespeare. Whoa, there's a presence in the room. Oh my goodness. Sarah, I don't even know how to describe what's happening right, but I think there's like, hello? Shakespeare, is that you? Oh my goodness. Wait, I think it's Shakespeare.
Oh my gosh. Yes, hello. Ooh, thank you for calling me. Oh, I was so alone on the other side. Well,
wow.
Where am I?
Wow. Hi, Mr. Shakespeare.
Hello.
You are on Beckett's Babies. It's a playwriting podcast.
Beckett's Babies. Oh my. What a wonderful alliteration. You must be a fan of the theater.
Well, we are, in fact. We're both playwrights.
Two of you, yes. Where's the other one? Is it a ghost like me?
Oh my lord. Mr. Shakespeare, or Sir Shakespeare, do you know what a podcast is?
A podcast? Oh, is that something you use to send out to the water and bring forward your dinner for the evening?
Pretty close.
You just about got it.
Oh, perhaps a small grouping of performers who go around and have intimate little readings of plays.
Yeah. I mean, pretty close. Well, we like to interview playwrights.
Interview. Yes. Yes. Okay. Wonderful.
So, thank you so much for being here. I really didn't know if anyone would show up, but you are, I feel like, our wildest dreams have been realized with the arrival of yourself. So
you're
typically
quite,
we start
charming,
off
these... complimentary, I might say.
Well, yeah, I mean your reputation precedes you.
Sure beats being heckled by rotten food.
Mm. So, well, we like to start every interview by asking our guests, what is your earliest memory? So, Will, if you wouldn't mind sharing, yes. What's the first thing you remember?
The first thing I remember, well, it was a cauldron, a bubbling cauldron, and it was dark, very, very dark, and there was a stench in the air, and suddenly light, a lot of light, and bubbling. So I woke in a soup of words and of smells, and three weird sisters stood around me as if they had conjured me up out of the depths of this soup in this boiling cauldron.
Is this your origin story? Is this how you came into existence?
Two houses alike in dignity, my fair lady.
Wow, that's quite a story.
Yes. One of many I've been known to pen.
So, you know, speaking of that, I'd love to just clear something up here once and for all. There's been a doubt over the years about whether you've actually written all those plays that have your name on them. So can you tell us, did you really write all those plays?
I really oppose the question. Because, you know, I am a prolific playwright. And why would I ever pretend otherwise? It would be silly. It's not like I paid some person to live in a basement and write down all the ideas I had over many, many years and decades, hiding it from everyone in my life, my most personal contacts and confidants. Why would I do such a thing? I just don't know how you would even make it feasible or practical. It's really comical to me, even more comical than perhaps the Comedy of Errors, which I wrote. Totally wrote that one.
What's your favorite moment in that play?
Oh, gosh. There's so many moments. You know, the ones where they run into each other and go, there's a shipwreck.
You do really like shipwrecks. I've noticed you write a lot about shipwrecks in your plays.
Yes, it's the thing that keeps me up at night, my dear. Not a single moment of sleep. Every waking moment of my life is spent thinking about shipwrecks.
So, really?
Yeah. Yes, wow. Every moment. I can't think of anything else, really. There's something comforting and haunting about them.
Wow. Well, you seem to really know your plays inside and out.
You could ask me any other questions you would ever want to know about the plays that I wrote.
You know what? Last question before we let you go. Move on. What do people get wrong about you?
Oh, God. What do they get wrong about me? Well, you know, I really never looked like that. You know, a long sort of balding hairline, big buggy eyes. I didn't look anything like that. I was handsome. I had, you know, nice, dark, thick hair that didn't end halfway past my scalp. No, it was thick and long. Everyone commented on it. They all loved it. And really, chiseled jawline, perfectly straight teeth. The Brits get a bad rap for their teeth, I must say. A six-pack, really almost an eight-pack. Big pecs, nice ruddy bums.
Well, I think that's about all we have time for. Thank you so much for taking the time. Okay, all right. Wow. Oh my gosh, there's somebody else coming. There's somebody else coming into the room. Sarah. Wait, who is this? Who... Hello? Hello, who are you? Are you also a playwright?
It is a me, a Sophocles.
Sophocles? Oh yes. My goodness, Sophocles.
It is me.
Wow.
Yes, I have arrived for
You're
the...
You're taking us all the way back to ancient Greece.
It is all that I know. Olive oil and the focaccia bread and feta cheese.
I love feta cheese. I just love what all
is
Greek
not
food.
To like all the Greek food because I am Greek and not Italian.
Sophocles, wow, thank you so much for paying us a visit.
I've always wanted to
many of us in the theater study your work Oedipus. In fact, I think Aristotle wrote that it was the best tragedy ever written.
Aristotle is a kissass, but I do appreciate the kind words. A lot of people do not know this about Oedipus Rex. Mm. He was supposed to be starring as the protagonist, a T-Rex.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
Yes.
The dinosaur.
No, not a man. A dinosaur named a T-Rex. And then they change it because they like the guy who fucks his mother. It is very, very perverse. No, this was supposed to be a story about a T-Rex who just want to make other friends. He just want to make a friends.
That's not the play that you wrote, Sophocles.
Yeah, definitely not.
I write this play.
Maybe something was lost in translation.
Perhaps is good movie with Tom Hanks.
You know Tom Hanks.
Perhaps Bill Murray is lost in translation. I cannot remember, but two very good actors.
Wow,
I have to say.
I had no idea you would be keeping up so much with the times.
It is what I am known for, to write popular stories of the day that reflect the polis. That is what I do. And
wow.
People want to see stories about the T-Rex. It is true. Another misconception is Electra. Electra, which is a play everyone loves by Sophocles, is supposed to be about the electricity man paying a visit to a house with no electricity.
I just can't let you take credit for somebody else's work. I think Euripides wrote Electra.
Ooh, there are many different kinds there, little miss. I know it all. Because I am looking at a picture called Electra, and underneath says written by Sophocles.
Okay.
Very good marketing
good
team. So I think I do not like the sass.
Different versions, yes.
That's so interesting that
you like
electricity is, because electricity doesn't come until what is it 2,000 years later?
Yeah. So how'd you get the idea for electricity when it didn't exist yet?
It come to me in a dream.
Wow.
It come to me in a dream, like a T-Rex, and I write the play. I never even love the play. So maybe...
This is just fascinating.
We move to different question.
Okay, you're right. So Sophocles, as someone who was writing plays, you know, thousands of years ago, what advice would you give to playwrights right now who are writing in 2024?
AD. This is important story. This is an important thing to say, because someday a playwright may want to have something else write the play. like, I do not know, ChatGPT, or perhaps something of the like. But it is important to write it a play on your own stone tablets. That is where the art come from. That is where the T-Rex come from. But these young kids, they don't care. They don't want to put in the work. They want to have ChatGPT write everything. And it is very bad.
So you don't approve of new technology?
No, no. It is the old way is the best way.
Interesting.
Very interesting. I'm glad that you agree.
Well,
Whoa.
Oh, is there something else coming?
Yes,
okay, bye, Sophocles.
I'm fading away.
Bye, Sophocles. Okay, wow, Sarah.
He's really with it. He really knows what's going on with current events.
I'm amazed that he knows about ChatGPT.
Yeah.
I wonder if we'll get anyone else visiting us today.
How's the Ouija board right now? Is it getting more possessed or is it in a good place?
Oh, my hands are moving again. Oh, my goodness. Wait. A? N T O N Anton C H.
There's only one Anton.
E. Wait, could it be Chekhov? Is Chekhov coming to visit us? Chekhov, is that you? Wow, you're just one of my heroes.
Anton Chekhov, yes.
Welcome to Beckett's Babies.
Beckett's Babies. I will stay for a little bit, but I have to check, get on train very soon.
You're taking a train?
I take train out to the country, so I can be with the nature and the landscape.
That makes sense. I can tell from your plays how much you enjoy the natural world.
The
Anton.
Natural world is underappreciated, especially in Russia.
Especially in Russia, huh? That's so interesting.
Yes, especially in Russia. But it is maybe not always this way. And maybe it is always this way. You never quite know at the end of the story what is happening next.
Well, you know, speaking of never quite knowing, there's been this longstanding debate about your play, The Cherry Orchard, about whether it's supposed to be a comedy or a tragedy.
Oh, good question. Yeah.
Could you tell us, because some of us find it very funny, but then other people say, no, it's supposed to be very serious and sad. So what are your thoughts on that?
It is documentary of life, because life is itself hilarious, very, very, very depressing.
Yeah.
And we laugh when we should cry. And the I'm slipping into German for some reason. Perhaps it is due to my travels. And it was a long trip coming here.
Where did you travel from?
I traveled from Russia. I took the train.
And where are you going?
I will go wherever I'm needed. I am like the tooth fairy in that way. When a child wishes on a seagull, they wish really on the tooth fairy. And
really?
It is me. Yes, it is layered. Very layered. Much like my plays. Hello?
Well, we're still here. It's just such an honor to get to speak with you.
You're so quiet.
I think you've rendered us speechless. We just don't know what to say. Maybe
where with could, women.
Maybe you could tell us a little bit about. I've always kind of wondered, you know, as a doctor, what you learned from practicing medicine that was useful to you in your career as a playwright.
Yes, practicing medicine, writing plays, they are two sides of same ruble. And so when you are slicing open a man who has drowned, it is not unlike slicing open the psyche of the audience. You go in with your scalpel, and you poke around until things are making sense, or not, and maybe you make things a lot worse. But at least it was experience for everyone involved.
That's really profound.
Thank you, yeah. Thank you. Yes, I'm glad that you see it that way.
We have another question here. What do you think of Russia today?
Oh, good question.
Oh, I knew this would come up. It came up in the last one as well. What do we say, huh? We say that Russia right now is not so good. It is very bad. And Putin, he could go to the theater once in a while. Maybe learn something.
You think perhaps going to the theater would improve Putin?
Yes, I do. I do think it would, because he would see things.
Wow. Well, you heard it here first, folks. I mean, I think from your mouth to Putin's ears, Chekhov.
Yeah.
From my mouth.
Theater can change lives.
It really can. So that is what we say in Russia. We say, "Na zdravya!" And we say, "Where did my vodka go?"
Oh, you're disappearing. Okay, God. So great to meet you. Wow. I wonder who's going to show up next. Sarah, I just had no idea when I found this Ouija board how lucky we were going to get with all these, all these ghosts.
And we didn't need to schedule any of them.
We didn't even have to schedule them.
Yeah, we didn't need to schedule. They just come to us, and this is awesome.
Oh, another one. Okay, this person's Bonjour. Coming into focus. Oh, is that a French accent?
Vivi, it is.
Antonin Artaud, is that you?
Antony Artaud. Yes, it is me, Antonin Artaud.
Wow.
And who do I have the pleasure of speaking with?
Oh, yes, of course. My name is Sam, and this is Sarah.
Hello.
Sam in Sarah? Not French.
No, we're not. No, we're not French.
No, I can tell by your accent. Believe it or not.
Well, Artaud, we've been asking people what their earliest memory is. What's the first thing you remember?
My earliest memory. Oh, so much horror. So much cruelty. So much misery.
Oh, no.
It is wonderful.
You enjoy being miserable?
Is a quality of misery and cruelty and error that is unrivaled in the human experience.
Mm. Wow. What's your favorite pastry?
pastry! I would probably have to say a double stuffed Oreo. Get it?
Double. An Oreo? You have all the French pastries available to you, the best of the best, and you would choose an Oreo?
I do not think I like your tone of voice, ma'am.
I'm just surprised. You're right. I take it back. Please excuse my tone of surprise.
Yes.
You are very much excused, Nadine.
Arto, you know, ever since I first read your book, The Theater and Its Double, I've wondered what you mean by when you said that theater is like the plague. And, you know, we've just gone through a very serious few years with this global pandemic, the coronavirus. I don't know if you heard about it, but a lot of people died.
Bodies? Did you take the organs out? Because body without organs?
No, I can't say that I did.
Okay. Yes, well, there is a plague everywhere. There is plague for each generation. And the only way through is to enjoy the cruelty of the plague.
Enjoy it.
Must I repeat myself to you all the time? It is good.
Why is it good?
Because a plague, a theater of the cruelty. And I think I have made my point.
Uh-huh. Mm. I don't feel any clearer, actually, than I did a few minutes ago.
Oh, boo-hoo for you. Boo-hoo. It is very sad. You can see how sad I am.
You're not one of our friendlier visitors today, Arto, I have to say.
No, I'm French, that is why. I'm French, and you are Burmese. You Americans, Burmese. Hello?
Yeah, we're still here. I just don't know. I don't know what else to ask you. I guess I'd say, well, what do you think the theater needs today? What do you think the theater of the 21st century could learn from the theater you were making or imagining?
Yes, I imagine all the time because I am French and I am unemployed. I do not work. And so I have many time for imagining. The theater today needs a second theater, or perhaps what you would say a double. Two spaces alike in the exact replica, and that is what theater of the double means.
Uh-huh.
Did you know at age 5 I was diagnosed with meningitis, which had no cure at the time? It is questionable, however, if me was correctly diagnosed. Did you know that?
No.
I did not know that. Would you say that had an effect on your life and your writing?
David Schaeffer asserts that given the frequency of such misdiagnoses, coupled with the absence of a treatment and consequent near minimal survival rate, and the symptoms that he had, it's unlikely that after I actually contracted it. So I think there you go. Probably helps answer your question.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. All right. Well, okay. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. I think it's important to clear these things up.
So important. And thanks for citing your source, too.
Yeah.
Yes, au revoir.
Okay. Wow.
You know, it's interesting, Sarah. We haven't gotten any American playwrights yet. I wonder if...
This Ouija is a European made?
Yeah, you know, it could be. I'll have to go back and see if I can find anything on the box about where this came from. But
do you think we have time for one more?
One more, yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm hoping for either an American playwright or maybe our namesake, you know, Samuel Beckett. I feel like it'd be really cool to talk to him about.
It's too bad we can't predict these things.
Yeah. Well, you just have to see who shows up. Oh, here comes another one.
I love that they have the same entrance.
They all sound the same when they enter. That's true. Wow, who are you?
Who am I? Who are any of us?
Oh, wait, is that an Irish accent?
Who are you? I might ask you the same question.
Is that Sam Beckett?
Sam Beckett. That's a name I haven't heard in a long time. But it is I, Samuel Beckett.
Oh my gosh, what an honor.
An honor. What is an honor anymore?
Well, we're just expressing our enthusiasm because you're on our podcast right now, which is about playwriting, and it's called Beckett's Babies.
Beckett's Babies. Oh, there's something I never thought I'd hear in my life.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of, see ourselves as your descendants.
Offspring. Well, what an honor. Were you waiting for me long?
We had to talk to a number of
other illustrious. No, I spent a lot of time in Scotland too.
Wow. Samuel Beckett. You know, go ahead, Sarah.
Oh, I guess I just wanted to ask, what do you think of babies?
Babies. Well, it doesn't bring much to my mind. Not much that I would want to put down on paper.
Yeah,
interesting.
Makes sense.
Interesting. Yeah.
But if you were to say, what do I think about religion and loneliness and the idea that anything could slip away at any time, well, then I could write a play for you.
Yeah, I mean, we love your plays. I mean, I really love, Waiting for Godot, Endgame. Can you talk a little bit about where you get your ideas?
It has to do with the drink.
Oh.
That's where I get it. That's where most of Ireland gets its ideas.
Well, that seems like a sweeping generalization.
Look, I'm Irish. I can say it.
Okay. Wow, Sarah, I don't know. Yeah,
Are you still good friends with James Joyce?
Jimmy! Oh, yeah.
You're not good friends with him?
Not with Jimmy, not anymore.
What happened?
Well, we were in purgatory and we were playing poker. And the old man stiffed me and I beat him.
You beat up James Joyce?
Oh, I beat him in the game, dear.
Oh, okay.
I see.
Okay. Wow.
And he didn't have the cheddar to cough up when it came time to pay in his dues. I waited a long time. Get it?
I mean, it seems like once you've reached the afterlife, what do you really need money for?
Yeah, right.
Seems like friendship would be more important.
I didn't make a whole lot during my life, dear, and I wanted to buy a yacht.
Are there yachts in purgatory?
Oh, why not?
Wow.
This is very enlightening. Yes, thanks. Thank you.
Is there anything you would like to share with our listeners before we go on to Glistens, the last part of our show? Anything about, we have a lot of playwrights who listen to the podcast.
Playwrights.
Actors and directors.
Actors. Ah. Well, let me put it this way. Theatre is grey and dark. And who knows if it's funny or if it's not funny? Who knows? It's what it's supposed to be after all. Maybe it's a mirror to ourselves. Perhaps it's more than that or less. And I think that answers all your questions.
It certainly answers something.
Yeah.
Well, good. I'm glad. Glad I could provide that for you.
I don't know if you're in a hurry, but would you like to stick around and share your glisten with us, Mr. Beckett?
A glisten?
Oh, yeah. I should explain what it is. Yeah, I should explain. So a glisten is something that stood out to you during the week, but maybe time works differently for you. But something that stood out, like it could be a highlight, a movie maybe you saw, or a newspaper article. I can start first. Highlight for me this week was that I'm getting ready for a move, and I started to save some space. I started scanning all of my papers and notes from college and from graduate school, and it's a lot. Yeah, it's very overwhelming. But I'm getting through it. Sam.
Okay, I saw this film the other night at the Dairy Arts Center, which has this Friday night weird series where they do independent films. It's called Riddle of Fire. It's advertised as a neo fairy tale. It's a group of kids. They go on this adventure. It feels very much like 80s kids films. It's really good. It kind of has like Wes Anderson vibes, but set in Wyoming, and I just loved it. It's really good. Riddle of Fire.
I check it out.
And Mr. Beckett, what's your glisten from the week? Or, I don't know, from the past 50 years?
Well, I suppose it was when I was walking down this empty road and a tree, one single tree, stood in the distance. So I walked to it. And I saw a trash can, a simple trash can, and I stared at it for a long time, and it stared back at me. So I opened it, and I saw myself lying in it, just a wee baby version of myself.
Whoa.
And I stared at the wee baby version of myself in the trash can under the tree, and I closed the lid. And I kept walking.
Wow. That is so absurd.
I don't think we've ever had a glisten quite like that. That's amazing.
Well, I should hope not.
So you just left this baby in the trash can?
It'll wait.
Okay. I'm just wondering if we should call, like, the police or something, and
yeah,
make sure.
Don't involve the police.
Okay.
Don't do it.
How long ago was this?
It was a couple of hours ago.
Okay.
But time never seems to pass in the way we want it to, does it?
Right. Yeah. That's true.
I'm being called somewhere else.
Okay, bye. Bye, Sam.
Wow.
What an episode.
This is crazy. Sam, I think what you should do is take this Ouija board and burn it.
You don't think more people will want to have this experience that we just had?
No, this was our personal experience, and it should be kept that way.
All right. Well, yeah, I guess I'll do that then. I'll go burn it.
Yeah. Have you seen that movie Jumanji?
Yes.
Yeah. Think of it like this. Like, this is a very important piece of artifact. And if you release it to the world, you don't know whose hands it's going to get into, like a really bad person. And they could take advantage of all these male playwrights.
Well, and we learned some pretty shocking information that if this got out that Oedipus was originally supposed to be a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah, that was a very revealing.
Who knows what could happen in the world of the theater.
Right, yeah. It could really turn things upside down. I don't think we're ready for that. I don't think we're ever ready for turning things upside down around here. So
that gives me a new idea for my newest play. A Ouija board named Desire.
Tennessee Williams. Oh my goodness.
That's all the time we had.
All right. Well, I think maybe we should leave it there, Sarah.
He just comes out of nowhere. Okay, yeah, let's end it here.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Beckett's Babies. If you enjoyed what you heard or learned a thing or two about playwriting, be sure to like, subscribe, and share the podcast with your friends.
And if you'd like to reach out and share with us your thoughts on playwriting and theater, or maybe be a guest on the show, be sure to visit our website at www.beckettsbabies.com. That's www.beckettsbabies.com, and you can contact us there. Thanks for listening.